They're literally piling dead people on a cart. How can you not do bring out your dead?
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dicer. I'm joined this week by Jonathan Watkins.
I am here.
And Danae Hughes.
Hi.
We write for the CinemaSins and TV Sins channels and do various other things inside the CinemaSins universe as well.
Why isn't it called Sinsverse?
Because you didn't name it.
Oh, okay. Okay, you guys have to explain this to me. Are the people who watch the YouTube, are they called sinners? I mean... I'm confused, but anyway, the fans, have they never had like a behind the scenes look before? Is this like the first time we're really talking about it? Because in the intro, Aaron, you said like, it's the first time, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh.
No, really, as far as I can tell, the most inside look that the Sin Universe has had into kind of what goes on behind the scenes is just the Sincast, is just when occasionally on the Sincast they'll mention something that's going on or, you know, something that happened on Twitter or those kind of things. They've been pretty, Jonathan, you can correct me on this because you've worked for them longer than I have. They keep it pretty tight-lipped, you know. They just kind of want to go about their business, do their thing, and produce hilarious content for people to laugh at. And so it's kind of like, you know, especially with some of the backlash, I think, too.
Yeah.
Just kind of keeping those doors closed has just been...
The drama.
Yeah. We just keep doing our work. Is that fair to say, Jonathan?
Yeah, for sure. We did those... we did the Comic-Con panels at Wizard World.
Yeah.
That's the only time I can even think of, other than when they've talked on the podcast occasionally, like you said. Those are the only times I can think of where they've really delved into it at all.
Okay. So follow-up question. Why let the new people... Why put us in the position of the tour guide?
Because there's an unofficialness to it, right? Like, it's kind of part of the fun.
We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We can't be in trouble.
Right. Part of the fun of it is, like, you know, we're like sneaking behind the boss's back and being like, you know, okay, hey, this is what I saw.
But we just talked about how we don't want to lose our job. So what are the rules? Are there any rules?
Well, they will listen to every single episode before it goes live. So yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. Phew.
There will be a gatekeeper.
Okay, good.
Just in case we do say something.
Are we releasing the picture of Jeremy's ass? That's my question. Cause that was what he was concerned about on Twitter.
I mean, the main thing, they're very tight-lipped. They don't want you to give away upcoming stuff. But other than that, I think we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, then, guys, prepare yourself. We're going to talk about Jeremy's ass and spreadsheets. It's going to be awesome.
When he tweeted that, you know, as a joke about behind the scenes, I was like, you don't know, man. We went to college together. Like, you don't know. I may actually have a picture somewhere. Who knows?
What does that say about you?
That's a good point. That's a fair point.
I won't see it. I'm good.
But back in college, you would have had to have had a film camera.
Oh, yeah. We'd have had to get that one developed.
That's not one where you can do like the sneaky, sneaky under the stall picture.
No. Here's what would have happened. I'm almost sure of it in 90s college. He would have taken that picture on a camera that of mine that I didn't know about. Then when I got the pictures developed, it would be like, whose butt is this?
No,
that was the prank in the day.
And then it would have been so funny. You both would have run over and found the closest Xerox machine. And you would have just Xeroxed your butts.
Yeah.
Pasted them everywhere around your college.
That was the height of hilarity in the late 80s and early 90s.
Oh, the 90s.
Did you have a TV studio at that college?
No, they do now. And they were just kind of developing that stuff. But the radio station there was where Jeremy and I met, actually. Well, we met in the communications department. But we both worked at the radio station there. And they had a great radio station. That's kind of why both of us kind of ended up enjoying broadcasting and that kind of stuff. So,
that's cool.
So,
and that's behind the scenes of how Aaron and Jeremy met.
We're already doing it.
Well, Chris and I already knew each other, but we went to college together, and we just goofed around at the TV station.
You and Chris did?
Yeah. But we met in high school. I think he talked about this at Sin Week, but I was dating a girl that went to his high school, and he was friends with her. So that's how we met when we were like 16.
Oh, nice. Danae, where did you and Barrett go to college?
Oh, well... spoiler alert, I did not go to college. I didn't have the fortitude, the mental fortitude, the patience, the interest, or the respect of my elders of any kind at that time.
But you did graduate from high school.
I did.
Despite your best efforts.
I did not want to graduate from high school. I just wanted to flip everybody off and climb out windows and sneak out, which I did successfully many times. That's a little bit of me. No, I came into the soup because of you. But who's missing? Is it Barrett that's missing? Because, okay, so Jonathan knew Chris.
So Barrett and I actually went, we both went to the same school, K through 12, but he is 4 years behind me.
You can't see this, but Danae is in real time doing the Venn diagram, like Minority Report style with her hands.
It does That's look funny. Like that. I'm trying to piece together this, but I don't understand where Barrett fell in.
Well, Barrett, I think Barrett knew Chrissy and Jonathan just from being in the
Barrett
same area.
Met Chris through me.
Chris and Barrett didn't like each other.
They were not good friends initially. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Me too. I hate Barrett.
Chris flat out said at the Sins Week that he hated him. So.
Oh. Well, let's just be clear. I've never met him, and I'm joking. Please don't fire me. Okay.
We should actually get into the show, probably. Okay. Although that's a lot of great, I think that's like great information. That's a good place to start. This is going to be a ton of fun. We're going to start with the Sin Side Scoop.
What's he building in there?
This is just kind of what's going on in the Sins universe. So look at the videos from the week, the process of sinning them, how we felt about the show or movie in general, that kind of stuff. So let's start last Monday when Seinfeld Sins dropped on TV Sins. Now, all of us wrote on this, so this will be a fun one. Jonathan, what are some of your thoughts on the process of writing Sins for Seinfeld?
Sitcoms for me have been the most difficult, probably. We've only done a couple. Have we done anything other? Well, we did Simpsons.
And Friends.
And we did Friends. Yeah, Friends was the one I was thinking of. I don't know. I don't know why. And especially with Seinfeld, because it's literally a show about nothing. This is it's a terrible episode, by the way.
It really is. It's so bad.
Every choice they make is pretty awful.
And we should talk about the fact that they actually did change some of that stuff when they re-released the pilot, because I think Seinfeld pilot actually aired like a year or half a year before the show actually started, and then they re-aired the pilot again in a different format. But
yeah, because that it was released like in summer of 89 is when I read that it first aired. And we should also talk about all three of us had different versions of it.
Yeah, so we kind of had to figure out like what we're doing, because I think we all ended up, I should say, Jonathan, you and I ended up going off the Seinfeld Chronicles version, which was the original version of the pilot.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was called Seinfeld Chronicles until the email came through from, I think it was you, Aaron, going, hey guys, so I'm noticing that there's different versions. Here's the one that I'm working off of, which is important because of timestamps.
Yeah.
We have to, you know, when we find a sin, something that's interesting, obviously we have to note exactly the time that it is for editing and everything. And so if we're all working off of different copies, that's not smart. So then I was panicking, going, oh no, which one do I have? And yeah, I had a different one than both you guys did.
Yeah, because you had the one with the new music. It had the actual bass riff instead of whatever that weird synthesizer stuff in the original one was.
I missed all that. I didn't hear any of that.
The intro's very different because it doesn't say the Seinfeld Chronicles. It says Seinfeld.
And mine was like reversed.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Jerry was facing a different direction when he was doing his stand-up.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
I was really worried that when I turned my script in, it was just not going to be even usable. And I sinned the snot out of that episode.
You were the MVP on the Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, for sure.
I think 90% of the sins we used were yours, Danae. I'm not even kidding. Because, like, Jonathan
no, I
and
think
I...
so, because Aaron and I both were like, I have, like, 15 sins, and...
How many did I have? I don't remember.
You had 35 to 40. You had double what we had.
It was that one came real easy to me. That's when I know that my personality, this part of my personality, will continue to grow and flourish. In that moment, I'm like, yeah, I got this. I'm like, just cruising through.
One of my
I think it's funny too, because Aaron and I typically don't just say like, oh, I hate this, but I've noticed Danae will write that. I like, what was it? Handmaid's Tale was the one.
Oh, God.
And I was like, well, it's funny too, because I didn't realize you were on that, or I just had forgotten. And I was thinking, I was like, I thought Aaron liked this show.
Oh, God, that show. I have never been that angry watching anything. I was seriously, I actually had to call Aaron a couple of times and calm down.
This is true. I had to talk her down.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get us off track.
Oh, no, that's okay.
That's fun stuff, because we don't have an episode of Behind the Sins
that's true.
Stuff. So feel free.
Let's just start at the beginning. So, Game of Thrones.
Oh, God, Game of Thrones.
I literally had to talk Danae back into writing Sins. Like, she was like, I'm done. I'm out. I don't want to watch
that,
this.
That does happen occasionally.
I actually...
You have stuff that breaks you.
I did. Okay, good. You have that happen too.
Oh, you know, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
I remember when I was texting Aaron on Handmaid's Tale, I said, how do you... This is so boring. How do you sin a piece of toast? And he goes, that's a sin. I was like, oh, crap. Right. Okay.
But on Seinfeld, I was one thing I did want to ask. I can't remember. They did eventually quit doing the stand up, right? Because never liked that.
I don't remember.
I think it went away almost altogether, if not altogether.
Did it?
Yeah.
Like in the later seasons.
It certainly wasn't 60% of the episode like it was in the pilot.
Oh, my God. I think that was the part that killed me. I mean, and in that episode in particular, his stand up routine was terrible. So.
Well, and that's the thing. I think it's hard because you're going back, you know, all these years and realizing that some things that were humorous in a era or in a season are just not any longer. And so I found myself going, did anyone really find this that I couldn't relate.
Stand-up's very different
right now.
Just like anything else. I mean, it changes. And I think Seinfeld was kind of on the cusp of a change, but he was still using some of that old school, like, you know, I had to fly all the way from Vegas and my arms are tired. You know, he was still kind of, he wasn't quite doing that, but he was also kind of trying to stick to some of that just to, you know, I'm sure to create some familiarity with audiences and whatever.
I sinned every single time on every one of his stand-ups. He made these absolute statements and I sinned every one of those because it's like, I just don't like absolute statements, I guess.
Well, one of my favorites was, I assume that was you, that you can actually talk to women. Oh, that was actually in the show though. That wasn't in the stand-up, but he makes the comment about, but did you write the thing about where he said all men want is women?
Yes.
Or was that Aaron?
Okay. No, that was Danae.
Yeah, that was great.
Pretty much if it was a great joke in the Seinfeld script, it was Danae.
That's my shining beacon right now.
I don't even remember a single thing I wrote. That's terrible, but yeah.
My favorite was the blood on the clothes that you wrote. I just thought that because I had thought about, you know, why is that such a, like, blood does get on clothes. That happens. Like, you cut yourself or whatever. But then a woman would think, of course blood gets on clothes.
Regularly.
You know? Regularly.
Cyclically.
Yeah, I just thought that line was great.
Where
you're
just
like,
awesome.
Or a girlfriend. And you know what? I actually gave you a note on that, right? Where I was like, hey, do we need to make this more explicit for the ignorant dudes who have no idea what you're talking about? And no, it's more beautiful when you have to think about it for a second as a man and be like, oh, yeah. The only other thing I wanted to mention about Seinfeld is Noah Lane. And I think the episode feels it. Like, I think people take for granted how she was the glue to that show.
I thought she was going to be the love interest on the phone. And
maybe
her name is Laura in the first episode. And then, like, because I don't
remember
how they
met. Well, yeah, because Kramer's was Kessler or whatever it was. Yeah.
But no.
Oh, and speaking of which, you know, this is just one of those byproducts of after the fact, but looking at Michael Richards is hard.
Yeah. He's been through some stuff.
Yeah. Is that the guy that plays
Kramer? Or
okay.
Kessler, whichever one. Whichever one you want to say. Let's move on to The Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
This is a fascinating one to watch the comments on. Because Barrett and I sinned this. This was a Dice or Share script. And we both thought this movie was awful. Like, I still think, I can't believe, to me it's a testament to nostalgia. Because I think a lot of the people in the comments who love it were kids when they watched it growing up. And just, you know, and so the music means something to them.
Yeah.
But that was the main thing. We both thought the music in this was bland, forgettable, you know, awful. So we did some sins about that stuff. And man, do people love these songs. and us going after Keith David singing is just like...
That was actually, which we'll get to that later, but that was, I noticed that in the comments.
People love their Keith David, man. And I don't blame him. You know, he's a great dude. He's a great voice actor. Like, he does great stuff. It's one of those you go to and it's like, there are some that people love that we also love when we sin, and you can kind of tell a little bit through sin removals, those kind of things, right? And so fans of that are like, hey, I love this movie and I love the way you send it, right? But it's when it's one they love that they can tell we actually don't like, you know, at the end of the day. There's a little different, you know, tone in the comments. But what I love is most of our fans, genuinely, most of our fans are still funny about it.
Right.
You know, they're still cracking jokes.
The comments for this one were really funny. I was curious. I actually thought you liked it. For those that don't know that are listening to this, Aaron has another podcast called Sif Pop.
Yes.
And I remember you and your partner in crime over there you ranked the Disney princesses.
Were we ranking the movies the princesses were in, or just the princesses themselves?
Now that I'm saying this, maybe you were actually just ranking more or less the princesses, because I remember there was a whole conversation about Aladdin.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Jasmine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tiana's a fine princess. Like, I mean,
for sure.
I actually like what they were trying to do with her. But the movie around her is not great. And by the way, I may have liked this movie more before I actually watched it with a discerning
when you start
eye.
Dissecting these a little bit, your opinions change. There's definitely been movies I thought I liked more. Scream 2 is a huge example of a movie that, I mean, I praise often, and I still do in some areas, but when Chris and I did that a couple years ago and I started really thinking about it, I was like, ooh, this movie isn't very good.
What you're describing, Aaron, reminds me of Lilo and Stitch.
Oh yeah.
Where, and I wonder, because, you know, being the new person and not having a ton of videos behind me to kind of go off of,
right,
I remember having to like ask you, because I wrote on Lilo and Stitch, like, is everybody okay? Because, you know, you're sending a movie that's from childhood that has so much nostalgia. And so it's almost like, even though clearly something is happening that's not okay, they're going to defend it because they understand the character or they related to the character.
Right.
So kind of like you're describing Princess and the Frog. I'm having flashbacks to Lilo, where the comment section was gold because it's like the fans are like, you know, triggered. Uh-huh. You know,
and that is another thing. I mean, because when did Lilo and Stitch come out? Was that like 2002, maybe? And then Princess
somewhere around
the
there.
Yeah. So I mean, I was 26. It would be really interesting to, you know, somebody that was actually like 9 or 10 when these movies came out, or even like 6 or 7, to have them. You know, I'm curious what their sins would be like.
Yeah.
In Princess and the Frog, I was even older.
Yeah, that was 2009. Was Princess and the Frog?
Yeah.
2002 was Lilo and Stitch. Yeah.
Yeah, so Princess and the Frog, I mean, I don't dislike it, and I do like Tiana, although I don't like that she's a frog for the majority of the movie.
And here's the thing. Here's where this movie really suffers. I want to see this movie without the love story. The love story kills this movie.
I agree.
But wasn't this before Disney started to kind of break away from a forced love story?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So I think you have to have it in there, kind of a thing.
Exactly. And I think this may be part of the reason they did, because maybe they didn't like it either. I don't know. But I'm watching it back. Like, it is so forced, and it is counter to what they're trying to say about her. And the character she falls in love with is an absolute jerk the entire time.
You guys point that out very well.
So that for me is the main thing with this movie, and the main reason I came away really disliking it is just like, this movie without the love story could be really fascinating and really interesting, and you could
make it more like something like Brave.
Yes.
Something along those lines, or even like Frozen. And there is a love story in Frozen, so maybe that's not a good example, but I was thinking more of the adaptation of the story itself, and you could have done something like that with Tiana's character.
Well, you could have even, here's the thing, you could have even taking the jerk frog character and end up having him matched up with the ditzy friend character, right? Like, and have their flaws come together.
With someone who doesn't matter.
Well, no, I'm saying two flawed people who come together, and then we can imagine in life are going to help each other, you know, work through their flaws or whatever, you know. But to create this beautiful princess who is self-assured, is going to do this thing to honor her dad and build this restaurant or whatever, and then just falls in love with this guy who's a complete jerk to her. I just, the whole thing just reads completely wrong to me.
But no matter what you do, you're messing with someone's childhood.
That's right.
There was a comment, Lilo and Stitch comment, but it was,
no, it's fine.
Cinema Sins, everything wrong with Lilo and Stitch, so we'll just insert everything wrong with Princess and the Frog. People with childhood say, we don't do that here. And that is how the comment section is, and I think that just is always going to be. I wonder if every single time you guys do, or we do, I guess I can say we.
Yeah, you can.
do a animated Disney type movie. I wonder if it's just going to be people are like, no, you cannot go to this place. This is the show that took me away from my life when I was a kid, and I got to like dream. You can't just go in and sin it.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong.
And I don't know about you guys, but I particularly enjoy the most when I get to do a movie that I love.
Yeah.
I find that fun. I don't know if that translates to all the viewers.
Right.
But I think it does a lot because you see comments like that. Like this, you know, even though I love this movie, I still love you guys, or that was a lot of fun or whatever.
Actually, my spec script that I wrote for Cinema Sins when they were thinking about having me be a writer was La La Land, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I loved that experience, both because it was one of my favorite movies and also because I was trying this kind of cool new thing and
like thinking about it from a different perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love sending movies that I love. Like I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, because I really enjoyed doing the original Halloween. That's always been one of my favorite horror movies. That was really fun to do. And then we did Arrival. We all did Arrival together.
Yeah,
that was an
interesting experience.
The whole team.
Yeah,
writing?
It's called All Hands on Deck, and Chris will call All Hands on Deck for some movies that are very tight. Like there's not a lot of sin in them because they're done so well. And Arrival is one of those movies. And it was an interesting experience for me because it was my first All Hands on Deck, and my script was like 15 sins long. Like I couldn't find a ton. And it was one of those things where I was like, wow, this is actually like a perfect movie.
What are we going to do?
So
let's sin that it's perfect.
Barrett was the Danae in that situation because I think he was the one that actually had like a lot of sins.
Yeah, I think Barrett had the big script on that one. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. All right, so that's Princess and the Frog. Also, the movie tries to use the line, it's not slime, it's mucus, as like a big emotional...
That's awful. Real quick, though, you were talking about... we didn't really talk about the music that much, but... so it was from the comments, I guess it was just the fact that it was like a jazz score.
It was just so bland... Jazz.
I thought so too. I like the idea that they were doing jazz, but I didn't think they did a very good job with it.
No, not at all.
None of the songs are memorable.
Let's move on to the music video sin for the week that popped Wednesday. That was Taylor Swift. And Jonathan, you are the one that's most involved in those scripts. I think Barrett writes them, but you help kind of form them.
Well, now, since we've gone down to one a week, which for those out there that love the music video sins, Barrett is working on an amazing, I guess, sister kind of video channel to that, which I cannot wait to drop. Yeah, so I reviewed the video and everything and watched it many times. It was another Taylor Swift, you know, just throwing shade at people.
That's basically what she does now, right? Like every song that seems like she comes out with is,
yeah,
here's one for my haters. And it's like, okay, yeah, I thought you just did one for your haters.
But she does make up with Katy Perry at the end. So,
which is a big deal, guys.
Tell us why that's a big deal,
Danae. Because they had shade, okay? There's tea there.
Was that tea spilt?
The tea was spilt, and now it has
been... Was it hot tea?
It has been bounty, quicker picker-uppered, and then squeezed back, you know, into the appropriate drinking device, and everybody's just, you know, having a good time.
Well, I remember was that the MTV Video Music Awards that Katy Perry was hosting when they debuted the Taylor Swift song a couple years ago? And it was the one that was pretty much all about how she hated Katy Perry.
Boy, you are asking the wrong guy. Like
I was mostly gearing that towards Danae. I didn't know if she remembered that.
I don't know.
Just being involved in music video sense, I guess I keep up with this stuff more, and having a daughter that listens to a lot of pop music. But I remember thinking that was kind of a damn moment. I always have, whenever that happens, I always have like a Chris Tucker and Ice Cube from Friday pop in my head. she was actually, Katy Perry was hosting the award show. They premiered I can't think of the song. It was the big video from Look What You Made Me Do or whatever.
Yeah, that was a weird one for me.
There's a lot of Katy Perry shade in that song. So that was just kind of a weird
According
situation.
To who?
It was very awkward.
Hey, let's make a gossip section of this podcast where we can just talk about like drama.
Oh man, there's nothing less interesting to me.
I know.
But, then pop gossip.
This is a pretty entertaining video, and Barrett and the editors put together a really, really good pack. This has been one of my favorite MVSs in the last couple months.
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the sins in it. I also kind of enjoy the song. The song's really catchy.
Yeah, no, Taylor Swift, she's an artist, man. She knows what she's doing.
Well, and she went all out on it. Like, the cameos in this video are insane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ellen, RuPaul, Laverne Cox, Ryan Reynolds.
I love that they all had their own campers.
It's always
campers
just like a second. It's like, how do you even get them?
Yeah. Because you're Taylor Swift. Because you're Taylor Swift. That's how. I have been to a Taylor Swift concert. I can say that.
How was that?
It was amazing. Actually,
it sounds like that amazing is.
I'm sure she's incredible. No,
it was actually, to me, incredibly impressive, even though I didn't know if I wanted to enjoy myself. And by the end, I was fangirling and screaming with everybody. Yeah. But it was really cool. I think there was this one moment where she sang one of her original songs, just her and a guitar. So it was really simple. And you could hear the entire auditorium just singing along with. Mm-hmm. And the applause after that song lasted for probably 5 minutes. And I don't know. I don't know Taylor personally, but she seemed to be getting very emotional because nobody would stop screaming and cheering for her. It was like the city's opportunity in this moment to show this person love and gratitude or whatever.
Yeah, you don't understand how much we love you. We're going to clap for 30 minutes.
And so she just kind of kept like trying to talk, and then the audience would just get louder. And so it looked like she started to kind of cry a little bit and her voice was shaky. I don't know if she was faking it, but I'm saying it was real. In the moment, it was really powerful. But the just the stage, how it moved, all of the videography and everything that was going on,
the production value of it,
it was just really incredible. Yeah. The live music, it was really, really impressive.
Yeah. I wonder how many people, especially younger people, I wonder how many people even realized she was just a country artist at one point, because I don't know of anyone who's made a transition like this.
Yeah. Well, she had to fight for it too. I know that much because I got curious about her after the concert. I was like, oh, okay. She's doing something here that's not just like,
Well, it's totally different. But Katy Perry also kind of made a huge transition.
She did.
The fact that I was getting her her CDs at a Christian radio station.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. As Katie Hudson.
Yeah.
So she,
another one rejected by the church.
Was she popular though? Was she a popular?
Her song did okay
until she kissed a girl.
I was curious because that's more what I was saying. Like, I mean, Taylor Swift was an insanely huge.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's totally different. Yeah. It's a very different situation. But
because you get a lot of that, like Tori Amos, there's the Tori Amos's first album is like, Why Can't Tori Read? And it's basically like, it's almost like like metal piano is what you would call it.
What?
And she clearly went in a different and better direction. Ministry, one of their first albums is like pop love songs. I mean, you get a lot of stories like that. I can't think of one where they were that huge. But yeah, I always forget about the whole that her name's Kate Hudson.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating stuff.
That she was a Christian artist. You guys must, or at least, I don't know how much you were in it, Danae, but I know, Aaron, your involvement in the Christian music scene.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine the stories. That's an interesting genre.
It's, wow. Yes,
that's
the understatement.
That's a loaded statement.
That is the understatement of all understatements. It is an interesting genre. It's the only genre that is based on belief system. You know what I mean? Like, just think about that for a second, right? Why is that a genre? Because that just adds so many weird things.
And if you as a person, even though if you do really incredibly inspirational music and the belief system doesn't believe that you believe best, then you're kicked out of the artistry.
Right, because you don't believe what we believe.
You can no longer provide music to those people. It's insane. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, and you speak of those kind of things, and it's not like there's some stonecutters, guild that's, making those decisions, but it's just,
country music is like, you don't believe in country.
The American church is interesting in general.
It is.
Let's just say that.
And move on.
Living
in, well, you guys are in the country, in a country music area too, I guess, aren't you?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm, right outside of Nashville, and it's just the... Country music's got dedicated fans. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
I think every genre has dedicated fans.
Today's country isn't real country, and
Oh yeah, that's always
yeah. But it's different. It's different to say today's country isn't my country than it is to say you're a bad person because you believe something differently than I do. You know what I mean?
No, 100%.
And right now it's like the rock is now like soft rock. Yeah, you just keep kind of creating these genres to sort of describe different musical experiences.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's
so
really
fascinating.
Weird, like at the Grammys, like who gets nominated for best rock now?
Yeah, like that's interesting.
Kenny G.
That's not my rock, Kenny G.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Imagine Dragons is rock, but then I think back to like what I grew up with, like the Scorpions and stuff, and that's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
They all have their merits.
Keep making labels.
Well, I like Swift. I think she does decent stuff.
No, she's excellent.
I like what she says. So, all right, let's move on to last week's final video. Paddington 2. This was a Dicer Scott joint. Jeremy and I wrote on this one. And even just so you know a little bit more about the process, there are a couple writers that write on each one. And then there is a review process that goes through note stages, those kind of things that more people chime in on.
I thought that was called the combine process.
Yeah, the combine process. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're just mentioning the primary writers on these things.
And then there's a whole different set of notes and whatnot once the video actually is made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And some of the guys, even though we are the primary TV Sins writers, those also go through different point people from Barrett, Chris, and Jeremy. And some of the sins in the TV Sins videos are actually from them. So
yeah, they'll add stuff. They'll add outtakes and sins and all kinds of fun stuff.
So let's talk about Paddington 2, just some general thoughts.
Delightful.
Oh, it's so great.
I don't know what else to say about it. I don't know that it's great, but it is. I don't know of another better term for a movie, for these Paddington movies, than delightful.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I actually had a moment when I was writing where I was like, okay, can we do this thing where we have the very first movie end in negative sins? Just like, you know, can we do this thing where the narrator like gets really flustered because he can't find stuff that's wrong with it? And I was like, no, that's not what we do here. But it is just so good. There are so many sins in that video that are just thrown to other things, because like, for instance, I wrote one about the newspaper in that video. The newspaper he's reading is perfect. Every single headline is hilarious. There's actual articles under every single headline. The pictures all work. The name of the newspaper is perfect. It's so perfect. And so the sin I wrote was basically, here's a sin that nobody else does that. You know what I mean? So those are the kind of sins I found myself writing on Paddington 2.
And that's true. I think that's the one thing that I'd never noticed before until I did Cinema Sins, is how crazy those newspaper article scenes are.
So. There's a great 1-2 example this week with Princess and the Frog. There were 7 different sins about inaccuracies in that. For goodness sake, that newspaper had different dates on the front page and the back page. Like, how do you do that? Like, that makes no sense.
Because nobody stops to read it.
Both of which were after Mardi Gras that year, but all the articles are about Mardi Gras coming up. Like, it's just...
Well, and it's not even like I would. I mean, I could totally understand, like, in a live action movie specifically, like if you took an actual newspaper and then you just changed the headline,
right?
But they're clearly somebody, but they're not doing that a lot of the time. And clearly somebody, and maybe sometimes it's even supposed to be that way on purpose, like it's an in joke or who knows. But it'll be like, you know, I mean, whatever. It'll be like, you know, Pigwin State Fair, and then. And then the article will be about like a serial killer.
It's true. Yeah,
I mean, it's weird stuff like that. And it's fake. I mean, it's like, it's not even a real, it's fake stuff that somebody wrote, you know, on purpose.
In some of the sins, obviously, in something like this are, you know, obviously intentional to make the humor there, right? Like the joke, like another one of the sins I did was about the pitch perfect timing joke of the pink uniforms.
Oh, it's so good.
In this movie. And the cut to that is just divine. Like it's pure comic timing. But when you start to think about it, you're like, okay, what had to happen for all of these uniforms to be pink at the same time? Well, they all had to be in the same wash, which means that they couldn't have had anything else to wear that wasn't pink. So are they all walking around naked while they're washing all their uniform? You know what I mean? Like you start to think about what universe do they have to wear the entire movie? Yeah.
Except for the chef.
Yeah. So it's those kind of things. And I think that's a legitimate sin that you could talk about, but at the same time, it's perfect for the movie. Like it just
That's a part of my brain that I'm learning to kind of expand is, first of all, I'll watch something and maybe it's like I actually want to watch it. So then I'm watching it and I'm like, oh, crap, 30 minutes has gone by and I'm not thinking about sinning. So then you kind of have to go back, just like when you read a book or something, and you gotta go back and you got to kind of put your sins hat on.
Yeah. When I was a teenager, I was just hoping for 30 minutes to go by without thinking about sinning. But go ahead.
A teenager, huh? I don't know.
And I think a lot of the people, especially the people that don't really watch the videos, I think don't understand is that we're writing for a fictional character.
Right.
The narrator is a fictional character. So a lot of the times when it's a scene I enjoy a lot, like the Paddington scene, I didn't write this, but I would look at it like you did And I would be like, but what would the narrator say? Because right, the narrator exactly. complains about everything.
Yeah, he's yeah. pedantic to the extreme.
Yeah, that is the that's the fun part is like, okay, yeah. but what would the narrator say? Which in my mind is, you know, Jeremy's voice. It's right. not well, Jeremy the person.
Well, the narrator is named Jeremy, so yes. that you can understand the confusion.
Yeah.
And we even forget that sometimes when we're combining the scripts or reading somebody else's script, because I know like Barrett will be like, wow, I think I liked this better than you. I'm like, no, I liked it fine. I was just like, I feel like this is what the narrator would say. Like, this yeah. isn't me talking. You know, sometimes we even forget that when we're reading each other's stuff.
So do you are you able to get into that mindset, Danae?
It's getting easier. The other fun thing is, like you're talking about, you really enjoy the comedic timing of the pink suits.
Yeah.
And then you have to sort of force yourself to think more about how did this actually happen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one that I'm working on right now for something I can't tell you about. Otherwise, I'll get fired because it's coming out in the future. And I just learned that we can't do that. But there's one that I'm working on now. And I just kind of watched it over and over again. I'm like, how did that actually get to this point? You know, mm-hmm. so then that's sort of fun. It's right. not it's not picking something apart. It's just thinking more about these little details to find yeah. things that are fun. Yeah. And it's harder sometimes to do in a movie that's just clipping along at a great pace yeah. and you're having a good time watching it.
Yeah. But I mean this is the same thing I've always said. You know, movies sometimes movies sin because they're being a good movie. Like, that's what movies have to do. Movies have to tell you a story in 2 hours. Like, that's not easy to do. You have to take shortcuts. You have to do mm-hmm. this stuff. So, you know, it's so a really interesting process.
Part of it is you're having fun with it. It's not like, oh, let's find something wrong with this movie. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, sometimes things are just blatantly wrong.
Sure, yes.
But a lot of times it's not that. It's just Handmaid's having
Tale
fun.
Was flashing through oh, Danae's head.
God, I hated that thing so much. I'm so sorry, those who love that.
And even when you say blatantly wrong, I mean, it's like literal, like using literal in the correct way. I mean, like, I remember when we were doing Shaft, like the Barrett and I wrote the that already came out, right? Yeah. But there's a part where there's a judge and there's two different nameplates for him. Like, in one scene, he's like Johnson. And in the next scene, he's like, you know, Anderson. And you're how did they screw that up?
Right. Or like the Game of Thrones Starbucks cup. There's some things yeah. that are super yeah, obviously yeah, yeah. mistakes.
Uh-huh.
And those are on the nose. Or I think the Game of Thrones ones that I found was I was pausing and hitting play like in rapid fire succession because mm-hmm. I just got bored. And all of a sudden I realized that all the characters were suddenly completely off of their seats when mm-hmm. they were watching like the little show.
Yeah, they were gone.
They're completely
they
gone.
They were back at their trailers chilling out yeah. while they filmed that. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'm like, And I'm like, yes, I've struck gold, you know, because I found one that's super on the nose. This is clearly a mistake.
One of my favorite Game of Thrones outtakes, one of my favorite outtakes we've ever done was the Starbucks cup one after that episode happened.
That got me. I said, hey, I think the audio is off here.
You were like, I don't understand what's going on here. I was like,
you were like, look closer.
I love that probably flew by some people because I like things. This is maybe an insight to my personality. I like when the audience has to work for something just a little bit because there's a satisfaction when you get it.
Yeah.
And in the puzzle. And so I actually edited that outtake and I spent a lot of time shading that cup, making it, you know, cause the scene moves. So I had to do movement on the cup so that it stayed on the table. And like, it was one of the most intense editing things I've ever done for an outtake because I wanted it not to be noticeable unless you found it, you know?
Is this a good time to talk about outtakes?
Sure. Go
Those
ahead.
Those are hard for me.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think probably because I haven't come from being such a movie lover that I've watched so much film and so much TV.
Sure.
And I'm not the kind of person who keeps all that in my mind. I've never ever been the person who can like quote a movie.
Well, you don't even know who sings your favorite songs.
I totally forget who they are.
Yeah.
But I know they're there. And that's all that matters. I can hum a tune. But there's like this, I don't know, it's just part of my thing. I enjoy it. I'm a consumer. I'm done with it. And I move on to the next thing. That's just my personality.
You're what's called normal.
Oh, is it? I don't know. I've always known people though who can quote movies and just reference the directors and then know all the different things that particular director mm-hmm. did.
Yeah.
So for me to kind of step into this role, I've been and continue to be really intimidated because the caliber of people around me who are those people, like I'm different.
Well, you know how much I love movies, right?
Yeah.
I'm intimidated by how much Jeremy and Chris and Barrett
right.
know. Like I just, I, because I love movies, and I'll know who the director is, and I'll know that kind of stuff, and I'll be able to recall scenes, but I cannot recall movie quotes the way they do. A lot of the outtakes I write, I have to search for.
But at least you like go in, like you go in there and you can have a conversation. I'm like, cool, I'm going to go grab a taco and find a bathroom. I'll see you guys in 5 hours when you're done talking. You know what I mean?
I'm not great with movie quotes. And I think we all have our, I think we all have our strengths and weaknesses as far as movie trivia goes and whatnot. Because I mean, Aaron, you're obviously, you watch a lot more current, I think,
correct,
than any of us.
Yes. I think that's
just
true.
Because you're also a critic and right, you're on, you know, but, and then I think maybe Chris and I with the classics are a little stronger in some areas. I'm always called the horror guy.
Oh, interesting.
And then Jeremy's, you know, the sci-fi guy. And
I think I'm kind of in the crew becoming the animation guy. I feel like I'm getting writing on a lot of animation stuff.
I feel like I am too. Maybe it's because I do enjoy animation more, so maybe that's part of it. Yeah. And I also don't mind it because then I can pre-watch what my kid's going to watch in the future. Kind of go, yeah, I want you to watch that, or no, that's a piece of crap and you're never watching that one. But I think I'm finding my groove. Like, there are some outtakes that I will do that are different. Like, I wrote on one that I can't talk about. This is going to be hard. I'm going to have to work through that. I wrote on one, and the feedback that I got was, we don't normally do like bonus round or outtake like this, but I liked it. And so let's see if it goes someplace. You know what I mean? So that's kind of
fun. That's out now.
That
video came out. It comes out this week that we're recording this.
Oh,
so
okay.
I guess we'll talk about that next week.
We will talk about that next week. But I do want to tell this story because it's one of my favorite Danae things so far with her working. She invented the bonus round without knowing it. She did a thing on...
I didn't invent the bonus round.
Well, you did it without knowing it. That's what I'm saying.
You
didn't
know that the bonus round.
Well, you didn't know the bonus round was a thing.
No, I didn't.
So you invented the bonus round in your world. Like, it was something like, you were like, how do you do this? There's all these things that are the same thing.
That was
for
Men in Black.
That was for the Men in Black with the clicker.
Yeah.
And you were like, here's all the timestamps for all the times there's a click. I don't know what to do with this.
It's like back then the clicker was the coolest thing. And so they just kept showing it. And I'm like, God, how many times? And when it got to 4 or 5, I'm like, I'm going to keep track of how, if this keeps going, I'm going to keep track. And I was pretty impressed at the end how many times there were clicks.
And it's not something we do often, and it doesn't always work. I know Aaron and I tried to do one for, was that Wrinkle in Time? It was, because it was that kid kept saying, they kept saying that kid's full name.
Oh, yeah. Every time they mentioned him, it was his full name.
but then when you played it, it just didn't really work. Which then I feel bad because the editors have gone through the trouble of putting all this together, and they were like, thank you. But
you have to think about it. Because like for in Men in Black, for example, when I did that, it was, do I make it one joke? Because, and where do you put it? You know, at the beginning, like something snarky, like, God, I hope this doesn't keep going. Like how many times is it going to happen? Right. And then just like a, let's just fast forward and see how many, and then you just kind of put them all in the script somewhere. And it didn't really fit anywhere. And so I was talking with, I think it was Barrett.
I think it was Chris.
Chris.
Yeah.
I was talking with Chris about it, and he said, oh, this is a bonus round. I'm like, what does that mean? Go do whatever you want to do. Here's all the timestamps. And it ended up working out. So then for Fantastic Beasts, which I'll talk more about next episode, because there's I did two bonus rounds, and I don't think one of them made it. And I'll talk about the one that didn't make it next episode. But I had that in my mind again going, oh my gosh, if this happens a whole bunch, I'll just keep track again. And so maybe instead of doing outtakes, I'm more of that person. I don't know. Outtakes are harder for me.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll just randomly think of something, even though it doesn't really fit with what's going on.
Hmm.
I've fallen in love with the outtakes. They're some of my favorite things. Now, I just did one that is my favorite outtake I've ever done. It wasn't even a video.
Can you talk about it?
I can. It was from a couple weeks ago. Actually, it was from a month ago that became a couple weeks ago because it got held up for a long time. But I didn't even write on the video, but I was editing the video. And as I was editing the video, I was like, I have to do this outtake. So I added my own outtake. And it was Split was the movie. And in order to keep his multiple personalities in check, they have this flash, you know, that flashes him and it just like shakes him into another personality. Mm-hmm. So I intercut that with Jimmy Stewart from Rear Window using his camera. That kind of stuff, it just makes me smile. It makes me giggle. The idea that James McAvoy is coming after, you know, Jimmy Stewart and he's using his camera flash to stop him.
I also love that in the comments, there's always people who leave really fun sins or their own like outtake moments. Mm-hmm. You know, people just jumping in and adding their own things that they noticed. it blows my mind. They're like, how did you miss this? And I'm like, how did I miss that? I have no idea.
Well, we hope to actually honor some of those here. That's one of the things we will do on this show is if you leave a comment in one of the videos or send it directly to us even, you can do that. We'll see it quicker that way, of a sin we missed or something like that. We love that stuff. Or a sin we were wrong about. That's fun kind of to talk about sometimes too, you know?
Okay, guys, sure. I know now that there were curling irons in the medieval times. I'm sorry. That was my sin, and I apologize.
Yeah, stuff like that. Then there's other stuff that we will argue back on and say, no, I think you're wrong about that.
No, but Nani was abusive accidentally.
Yes, exactly. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Before we get there, though, this is going to be, I think, one of our greatest sections. We're wrapped up on Paddington 2, right? Like, we didn't have anything. It's just such a great
movie. It was delightful.
Exactly.
Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my... every time I talk... Wow. Is this how Aaron feels? When we're... Okay. We're gonna try this. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So go fill it out.
So we're going to move on to one of my favorite sections of the podcast, even though it's the first time we've ever done it. We're calling this Keeping Tabs.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
This is an insight into the research we do while doing the Sins video. Each of us have chosen a couple of the tabs that we actually had opened while researching our Sins videos.
From this past week.
So let's just kind of go around until we've all shared all our most embarrassing Google searches. Danae, I'm going to let you start. What did you search for?
I don't think that this is embarrassing, but because I only wrote on Seinfeld for this week, so those are the only things that I kind of had popped up on my window. I had I learned that Bubble Rave's popularity began in the 90s. I was really convinced from watching that. I was like, that's stupid. Bubble Raves are totally like the 2000s. Mm-hmm. But no, it's from the 90s. And so I went down a rabbit hole of researching.
When was the Bubble Rave invented?
Yes. When was Bubble Rave invented was my Google search. And then I went down this click trail of learning about it. And then I had the terrible realization that Jerry Seinfeld dancing would have been the kind of dances that were at the Bubble Raves. And that just freaked me out. So I wrote a sin about that.
Man, nightclubs will think of weirder and weirder things to get people in the door.
Oh,
let's
right.
cover the dance floor in bubbles.
Yeah. And I remember because I used to watch like the like crime shows. There was like a crime show where somebody got like stepped on with a stiletto heel and died in a bubble rave, which is the first time I ever saw one on TV. Just a weird side note.
What do you got? What's a tab that you had open?
I didn't really pull up much on Seinfeld.
We only had like 15 cents each
any of us on Seinfeld. I think Janae is now the Seinfeld expert of the pilot episode. One I did want to mention, just because this is like because we had talked about also with the first episode, we might talk about stuff from the past.
Yeah, sure, that's fine. Yeah, because we have never done those.
There's one I have always wanted to tell this story. So I don't even remember what the video was, but there was a puppet in the video, and I thought I had remembered a line from like a movie or a TV show or something. Like, this is what Aaron was talking about. We have to research these lines because we're not always great with the quotes. But I thought I had remembered some line about puppet sex. And me being a idiot,
Jonathan
Googled puppet sex. And that's a thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
That's a thing.
That's what you said when it popped up on the screen.
Yeah, that like, is a thing. Oh, no. I got out of that so quickly. And this was back when I was still not quite doing this full time and I hadn't gotten my new computer. And so I was actually on my work laptop. I remember that as well. So I remember, God, I hope they don't really monitor this stuff.
God, right? Yeah, like we're going to go to jail.
That would have been a weird meeting with the boss. I probably just would have been like, yeah, I'm done. I'll see you guys later. But well, yeah, so puppet sex is a thing. Don't Google it.
I will tell you, we've all had that initial feeling when working for CinemaSins and writing within the first couple weeks where we have this recognition of the things we're Googling. Like, you don't think about it for whatever reason until you're a couple scripts in and it's like, yeah. wait a second. I'm not an incognito window. I'm just Googling stuff for research.
Not good.
Barrett has tweeted many times. Like, he'll be like, you know, he's like editing the podcast today. I'm pretty sure the FBI is going to be on my front door for my Google searches or whatever. Doing research.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing. My first one I'm going to go with is from the Princess and the Frog video. I wanted to make a joke about the side character adjusting her top. And so I searched for a fancy word for boobs.
What'd you find?
Décolletage.
Oh, gotcha. Yes, the décolletage.
So there's a sin that mentions décolletage. So
smart.
But if you Google words for boobs, you're going to find a lot of interesting phrases that people use for breasts.
I was just thinking, my mom used to call a bra the over-the-shoulder boulder holder.
Yeah, I've heard that one. That's from a movie, isn't it?
I remember when she told me that, she was laughing so hard. And then I thought, she really is thinking this is funny, and I don't know what she's talking about.
All right, Danae, you got another one?
Yeah, I've actually got a couple of more. I'll save the other Seinfeld one for later, because Jonathan, yours reminded me of one of the first Google searches where I became very aware that I needed to start searching an incognito and or get one of those, what are those like things that protect your IP address?
Yeah, a VPN.
It was for Game of Thrones, and my search was how long does the body pulse blood after being flayed? I literally typed that in. Because there was this one scene, which didn't even make the cut, but there was this one moment where, you know, the flayed man or whatever, and he had just like, you know, flayed a whole bunch of people, and it kind of zooms in, and there's this river of blood kind of coming off of the neck region, and I'm thinking, this guy is like dead. How long is he going to pulse blood? And it was like, I'm looking at it going, like, that's just silly. And then in the combine process, which Aaron kind of talked about, we take our scripts, we take our jokes and everything, and you know, somebody moves it into like one script, and we all make notes on it. And one of the notes on that one was, well, if he was just recently flayed, he probably still has blood. Like, this is the conversations that we're having.
Yes.
And that one really, and there were several about Game of Thrones that I was like,
right,
looking at specifically, like, you're a serial
killer. Yeah, if somebody looks at your searches, they're like, oh, there's a serial killer.
I'm gonna
here.
Murder my husband
yeah
soon, and it's gonna be gross. You know, so
I just need to know how long he's gonna pulse blood after I fillet him.
Or I already have, and I'm just wondering how long is it
how long is this gonna last. That's right, that's the position you're in. You're like, how long do I have to put up with this?
So it's just messy.
Oh man.
Anyway, that was mine.
Do you have another one, Jonathan?
Yeah, so I was working on a script actually last week. We actually occasionally do backup videos. I don't know how much we can talk about that, but there, you know, occasionally we can't release a video for, well, you were talking about Split got delayed for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so one I was working on that I can't say, and I don't even know when or if it'll come out. But there was a very strong focus on a neck in the scene. And I don't, did you guys watch Ally McBeal?
Yes.
Oh God, unfortunately, yes.
So I Googled Richard Fish and neck waddle fetishes. because Greg German's character was, and maybe it was because Greg German was in this movie, I can't remember, but Greg German's character on the show had a neck waddle fetish.
Right, yeah.
I couldn't remember what they actually called it. I kept wanting to say goiter, and I knew that wasn't right.
So, what a word.
Yeah, that's a great word. So that was probably my weirdest one from last week. Yeah.
Do you guys have other ones?
Yeah, I have one more for Seinfeld.
All right, then I will just, because I've got three more. So I'll just do one of those, and then I'll finish with the other two on my next turn. One of the other ones I did was top 10 grossest English foods. This was for the Paddington video, and I just wanted to make fun of the UK for something. And so...
what'd you find?
Jellied eels.
Gross!
So So there's a list. Apparently, the British like some gross stuff.
Jellied eel.
Mm-hmm.
Did that make the joke? Was the jellied eel reference?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in there. Yeah, because I did that. I worked on that edit.
I have a hard time watching some when I haven't actually seen the movie. Like, I never saw Princess and the Frog, and I haven't seen Paddington. So I'm like, I don't want to watch The Sins because then I'll be ruined on it before I have my own experience.
You?
I know.
That doesn't sound like you.
Oh, it's totally like me.
You would, but I'm just, no, what I mean is I'm saying you're never going to watch those movies.
I know.
You don't want.
That's one thing about Jeremy. You know, it's amazing. Like, I think he calls himself out for this, but because he has to narrate every video. So
every single one.
Whether he's seen the movie or not. So I can't imagine how many movies have been ruined for him, but I don't think he cares.
No.
That doesn't seem to really bother him. But
give me another year, I probably won't care.
That would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, it totally would drive me crazy.
Because if I have to work on it, if I have to work on an edit and I'm not writing the script, I'll watch the movie if I haven't seen it.
Just right.
Oh, wow.
You know, A, it helps because you know where scenes fall.
Right.
But B, I don't want it, you know, I just don't want the movie to be ruined.
Yeah, I've done the same thing, although I'm wondering if I'm going to change that, because one thing I've noticed about TV Sins, we're writing on one right now that I haven't seen any of. And I kind of like... I've actually done a couple things where I've predicted things that are going to happen in the episode that then happen in the episode.
Yeah.
And I like that that's authentic, that I'm not reverse engineering that, you know, because we could totally do that. And there wouldn't be anything wrong with that, actually. But it's one of those things where there's something interesting about watching something for the first time and not knowing where it's going. It can be frustrating because sometimes you have to delete great sins you wrote because the show or movie actually does go there. And that does happen. But there's also something kind of interesting about it too, because I think you are more aware of things that are missing. So,
well, and I think TV Sins is really going to get interesting because we're mostly doing pilots.
Mm-hmm.
So at least in that scenario, we're only watching the first episode, and we tend to not try to talk about, that was kind of one of our rules early on, was not getting too much into future episodes.
Well, the idea is the narrator is somebody who hasn't seen it before.
Exactly.
That is what we're operating on. So we will make clever jokes about things that happen in the future in a way that the narrator could have said them without knowing they happen.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Or they're written by me.
So glad he'll be around.
Yeah, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But once we get into, like, and we did this with Game of Thrones, and Game of Thrones was a show that since we were skipping around, and since I felt like it made more sense to, it would help me write to know what was going on, and also not wanting to be spoiled because so many people had talked about this show, I ended up watching the entire series as we were sending it. And I don't know that I can do this every time. Like, if we, you know, once we start getting into like future episodes.
Yeah.
And it also helps when one of us knows the show. We try to get a show at least one of us knows something about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if we do make these jokes about future stuff, it's good to know. I know Arrow was one that I had seen quite a few seasons of. And I remember Chris wrote a sin about him being the only one on the island. And I was like, well, actually, he's not the only one on the island.
Yeah. 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 It's
but if
it's
none
a tricky
of us
line
had
seen
to walk it, we probably would have left that in there.
Well, and honestly, that's one of the reasons they didn't do TV Sins for a long time, is that the idea of, you know, how much information there is there, and that, you know, that we would get called on a lot of that. All right, Danae, what else you got?
The other one that I researched for Seinfeld was... my Google search exactly was it considered sexy to take off shoes in the 90s? Because there's this moment whenever the potential love interest
yes.
finally appears, and she sits down on the couch and she removes her shoes, and
I
the
totally
audience goes,
it.
Ooh.
Yeah, I totally noticed that. That's hilarious.
I couldn't figure out a way. I mean, I could have sinned it, but I was like, you know, I couldn't like kind of find my way into that one.
No, it's fine. In the end, it's about her getting comfortable. And that whole scene is about her giving all sorts of signals that she's into him, and then telling him that
he
has...
Because the light goes off and she wants wine and then she takes her shoes off.
Yeah. And then she gets
because
a call from her fiance.
Because if you take your shoes off, I mean,
the shoes
you,
off.
Want, you want to have sex, right?
Right.
That's exactly what that means.
Yeah.
Well, and Jerry does it too.
So
that's
it's
the
like
thing.
Everyone at the pool wants to have sex, apparently.
All
like,
of them. Yeah. And then Jerry's like, oh, cue taken. I'll also take off my shoes. And I'm like, is this like foreplay? What is this 90s foreplay? That would have been the joke.
Yeah.
There it is. Though, in that scene, though, I love the way he answers the phone.
Is it when he slaps it?
Yeah, he kind of smacks it up so it pops up in his hand.
Yeah, I remember when you had to find ways to like answer the phone cool because it was so boring to just sit in one place.
Remember cords?
Remember cords?
Yeah, remember phones and houses?
And by the way, my Google search did not yield very many results that were helpful in that regard.
God, that would have been so fascinating.
I probably should have done some like
endless articles.
Like of some sort of like etiquette for showing your interest in someone that were written in the 90s that would be available on the internet somewhere.
Well, foot fetishes are definitely a thing, so I'm surprised it didn't lead you down that road.
Are you going to read the rest of yours all like in succession?
Sure,
you
Jonathan, did you
later?
Have any more before I read the rest
no,
of mine?
No, not really. I had to do like some weird research on the publication history of Teen Vogue, but...
that's fun. That's
yeah,
good.
That was fun, but yeah, nothing that can top puppet sex or waddle fetishes. So.
I'll just end on... I did a search for can you get jail time for a bad haircut, which was a part of the Paddington script.
The answer is that you can if it's considered emotional abuse.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah, there's a story right now in the news of a dad who didn't like that his daughter put highlights in her hair, and so he forcefully cut all of her hair off.
Wow.
And she's been removed from his home and might be lost his job and might be looking in jail time for emotional abuse.
So, yeah.
You know, I feel really bad for that kid, but at the same time, when I hear stories like that, I realize I'm doing all right. Like I'm a fairly normal dad, and I'm doing okay.
I don't feel all that normal after this Google search. this Google search was for Princess in the Frog. The Google search is how sensitive are cloaca? Because
what's a cloaca?
Oh, that is so funny.
Because
Chris, that stems from the Sincast.
It does
right?
stem. It does stem originally from the Sincast, and them talking about amphibious reproductive organs.
It was if Kermit and Miss Piggy could have sex.
Right. Yeah. So the cloaca in the amphibian is both the reproductive opening and the excrement opening. So it's a dual purpose opening, and that's called a cloaca. Right.
That's someone's fetish.
Boy, I hope not. But there's a joke in The Princess and the Frog where he's like, "That's below the belt," but he's a frog, and I'm like. If you get kicked in the crotch as a frog, does it actually hurt? Like, you know, he doesn't have testicles. Like, you know.
You really Google search that?
Yes.
Like, as if there's some sort of science research center that has kicked frogs in the groin.
That's the thing. It's like a weird.
You don't
weird
know
piece
our
of,
audience.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, a weird I piece don't. Of dialogue will just stick in your head. And you have to. That's where these searches come from. Because you're just like, is that even possible?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
that
why would a frog say that?
That reminds me, on the Handmaid's Tale one, I did do a Google search for pig brushing.
Yes.
Which is a thing.
It is a thing.
Yeah. And that reminded, like, I went down this whole bunny trail of then watching videos of people brushing pigs.
Here's my thing that I realized after doing this Google search, is that if somebody without context sees a Google search for how sensitive are cloaca, they're not going to think it's about getting kicked in the groin.
No.
They're going to think it's about sexual stimulation.
Of course.
And it was one of those moments where I was like...
Your Google search should have been ouchie cloaca.
Yeah, it's like people are going to think I'm abusing frogs.
Ouchie, ouchie, cloaca.
All right, let's move on to the comment section. We'll each pick a comment or two, just whatever you guys researched that you want to bring to the table.
I
want to know
what you're thinking. I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
Jonathan, we'll start with you this time. What's a comment you saw?
In the Seinfeld, there was a one from... Are we going to say who they are?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, this was... It looks like this was JS. It's just J period S period. It says, dead spot on review, in my honest opinion. Honestly, I don't know how this show was green-lighted after this pilot. It's horrible. Then again, most TV at the time was worse, so there's that. And what that did was that made me think, what actually was out in 1989? Because I'm thinking, was TV really that bad? And this is what premiered in 1989.
Oh, interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, and this, The Simpsons.
Okay.
We did that.
You're right.
Coach.
Okay.
Quantum Leap.
It's great.
Tales from the Crypt.
Wow.
Doogie Howser. Saved by the Bell. Baywatch, Family Matters, The Arsenio Hall Show,
1989, FTW, yeah,
Major Dad, and Cops. And so, I mean, this is like, these are shows that really took up, like, became like 90s staples.
And some of them are still on TV.
And then also a couple I just mentioned just for my own personal, Alien Nation, which is one of those shows that I've never understood why it only lasted a season. It was so great. I don't know if either one of you ever watched that. And then Agatha Christie's Poirot, which is just a...
Poirot.
I'm an Agatha Christie nut, so...
Oh, good for then, you.
And then also that's your shows that ended. Family Ties, Moonlighting, Miami Vice, Kate and Allie, and The Equalizer. So I actually thought that was a pretty good year for television.
Yeah, that's a decent year for TV. Yeah. Very interesting. Danae, what do you got?
I'll do Seinfeld too. DP91 said, I appreciate that you guys are still tough, even on stuff you enjoy when it's deserved. I forgot how mediocre the pilot of this was compared to the genius that is later in later episodes after it came into its own.
Yeah.
And I appreciated this one because it does indicate that Seinfeld got better. And a lot of the comments actually did say, you know,
right,
thank God it got better. And a lot of people loving that, you know, we sinned that Elaine wasn't in this episode and stuff like that. But I appreciated that comment. Like, we are tough on stuff, even if we liked it later on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good comment.
This one comes from Ouija Corn 2. this is from the Princess and the Frog and kind of speaks to some of the things we talked about. For ages, I've wondered what you have against musicals. But since you said Keith David has the worst voice, I can assume you have no ears. So all is forgiven. See, this is the thing.
That's a funny way.
Exactly. Yeah. If you could come back at us and be hilarious like that, I'm totally on board.
Yeah.
So.
And there was some, and I won't use this one because you just did the Keith David thing. Keith David has a big fan base.
Oh, yeah.
There were many,
sure.
But I had one where I copied where they said they expected a 14-page essay on their desk. About how you were wrong about what you said about Keith David.
Yeah, exactly.
That was Baby Doll 5.
Nice.
And I do love some Keith David, but I've never really been like, oh, Keith David's a great singer. That's never been something that's popped in my head. But
that's funny because Princess and the Frog comment that I picked was from me. That's the name of the person is me. Wait, am I the only one that loved the music in this movie? The jazzy swingy feel really buttered my egg roll. And I had never heard that. Like, and I want to use buttered my egg roll in my real everyday life now.
Nice.
Because that's so funny.
I remember reading that one. That was great.
Yeah, that had a lot of comments or a lot of likes.
The only other one that I noted was one that I just bring up, not because it's hilarious, but because I think I appreciate it when somebody goes to the next level of detail than we do. And this is from Megan Powell about the Paddington video. Says, gotta add a sin to the channel. Mr. Brown throws a coconut shy ball, not a coconut. And because in the video we say he throws a coconut. And she's right. She's absolutely right. That is not a coconut that he throws.
Man, I wish we were doing this podcast back when we did Lilo and Stitch, because we would be apologizing about the ukulele so hardcore because of the comments. That's funny.
You guys have any more?
On Paddington, I actually had two because we were talking earlier, you know, it was harder to send that one. Mm-hmm. Noodles Lightwood 3 said 50 Shades, 1,155 sins. Paddington 89.
I had that one down too. That was great.
It was just so funny. Like,
yep. Maybe Paddington 2's a better movie than 50
maybe,
Shades.
Maybe.
Just maybe. Just maybe.
I had another one for Paddington too. This one was from Kellen DeVree. And it was a question about the script. So maybe one we can answer. She said, I guess I shouldn't assume it's a she.
Kellen, I did the same thing with the Megan. So
Kellen asked, was the, quote, simple matter of weight ratios, quote, a reference to Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Oh, of course. Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah, I've actually used that reference several times in scripts.
I do a lot of Monty Python.
Yeah.
Well,
It is one of my, like, I've got the whole movie memorized movies. And so it's going to pop up in my brain. But like, anytime a bird or anything is carrying something they shouldn't be carrying, I'm going to talk about, you know... It must be the African, you know, goose instead of the European, or whatever. It's just a simple matter of weight ratio is definitely a reference for
but
sure.
Like halfway through the Game of Thrones run, I even sent in an email out. I said, "We've got to stop doing Monty Python."
I remember you saying
because
that.
It's true. Every video we had a Monty Python outtake.
It's because it was perfect.
I know. I mean, it was like, it's like we got to think of something else.
It's like 7 degrees of.
They're literally piling dead people on a cart. How can you not do bring out your dead?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And like right after I said that, like the next one, yes. Ivan was like, "Oh, now I can't put one in." That's perfect. It was something yeah. like that.
Jonathan, did you have any more?
Barrett really ticked off D&D players
with
that Taylor Swift video. Did you see this?
No,
but I'm a D&D player. Do tell.
Well, there is a scene where she has like, it's like this, she's like sitting at this table singing and there's just all this random stuff on the table and there's this bowl of dice and there's just a ton of dice. Mm-hmm. And so he wrote this in, what human being has this kind of a need for dice? And then so all these people, all these D&D players came out. So Ingesa said, I think that's how that's pronounced, as a D&D player, I take offense to this.
That's funny.
Dragon Fox said, what kind of human being has this kind of a need for dice? Me, D&D players, a.k.a. me. And then somebody wrote... Honestly, and this was the Taylor Swift video too. Honestly, feels like you did zero research because you wanted to get it out fast. But I will say for Barrett, I don't know if any of us do as much research as that man.
Oh does. Man, he is the research king. He really is.
So that is definitely one thing you never have to worry about. Now he might be wrong.
But, no, he is wrong.
He did the research.
I'm literally within arm's reach of an entire giant container of dice.
That's hilarious.
It's true.
It's sitting right here.
And you're not a D&D player.
Maybe he needs to come on and talk about his Google search. Who keeps a lot of dice?
Yeah.
Probably somebody named Dicer, I would guess, in my case.
Is that why you have the dice?
People just give me dice, yes.
Yeah, and I actually raided his dice container when I started up this most recent D&D campaign. I need a lot of D6, and I just dumped them all out and started grabbing ones that spoke to me. I have to say, I missed that whole part of the Taylor Swift music video and the comment section. And so I'm super excited to be connecting with fans of CinemaSins work and also the D&D crossover world. That's so exciting.
Oh, yeah.
It's
no,
so awesome that you do that. I don't think I've ever played D&D. There was some card game I played in college. I don't know. That's one thing I've never been able to let my imagination get to.
Well, maybe this will be a good transition to the next segment if we're done with comments.
Sure. Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're going to finish off with a thing called Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
This is basically an opportunity for each of us to talk about something that that we've seen recently.
So I'll just take that natural progression and just say one of the things about me is I do love playing D&D, and something else out in the pop culture world that I'm super enjoying, and most people who play D&D probably know about already,
sure,
is the Critical Role universe. And so if you are on YouTube and you enjoy watching people play D&D, they do a lot of fun stuff over on their channel, which is... very, very popular. There's actually quite a few really great channels out there.
It's a booming industry. Yeah. A lot of the people that I pay attention to and that I like are doing them.
I would say I'm probably close to leveling into super fan for Critical Role. You know, for me, watching a TV show or a movie is one thing. The script's already written. But when you're watching people play D&D, you never know what's going to happen because it's all about chance and dice roll, and you never know how someone's going to play their character. And so for me, this is like a huge passion of mine. So that was actually going to be the thing that I was going to talk about today. So it was just a perfect transition.
So that's the Critical Role podcast and Critical Role on YouTube.
Yeah, Critical Role on YouTube, the Twitch, they do all of that.
Okay.
You can just search for Critical Role. And I have only watched season 2, or I should say campaign 2. They all started working together in campaign 1, which I haven't watched because I've just got into their second campaign. I don't want to go back over into a pre-existing one just yet. So I've been enjoying them for, I don't know, a year now. Do you remember when I started?
It was about a year ago.
Yeah.
That you started bugging me about them.
Yeah.
You got to watch this.
Is that what they're called? The games are called campaigns?
Yeah.
That's like the whole journey adventure.
Yeah. I mean, every group probably could call it something different, but campaign is the most common, I think.
Is it critical?
So can you get knocked out of a campaign and like you're just done and you have to wait till the next one starts?
It depends on the dungeon master. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I know, nice. We're going there.
No. It's fine. This is just not something I know much about.
You could also start a new character in the same campaign, right?
It depends on the person running the game. But yeah. Yes. And a lot of times, like, you can just... The campaign, for example, that I'm playing right now, the DM has very specifically said, I will roll the dice. If your character dies, it dies. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not trying to kill you, but I kind of am at the same time. So you might want to have a backup character ready. So I'm doing the very best I can to not get very attached to my tune.
Yeah.
I call them tunes. That's because I used to role play online in the 90s. So that's a little bit about me. If you guys are people who love D&D, let me know. I would love to find my peoples.
Critical Role.
Critical Role.
ROLE ROLL.
ROLL.
Okay.
And oh, that's those who
that's
already.
Like something Dicer would come up with.
I'm just kidding. It's Critical Role.
ROLE?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but
both
critical,
are, when you said I'm just kidding, it's Critical Role. Both would be pronounced Critical
right,
Role.
I apologize. It's ROLE.
Well, I thought it might be ROLE because that's really clever. That's, you know, that's
yeah.
interesting because you're talking about the roll of the dice and then you're.
Yes. And then when you roll a 20, it's a critical roll.
Yeah.
So now that I'm on the same page with you,
yeah.
it is Critical ROLE. That's the channel.
Very nice. Jonathan, what's your Beyond the Sin?
I had a few things. I think I'm going to talk about Child's Play.
Good. That'll go with mine as well. So.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, I honestly don't think you're going to like it very much since you're not really into horror movies. I mean, you could, though. You never know. But I don't know how much I liked it. I found it really interesting. I've never been able to figure out where I am on these reboot remakes. I'm kind of like you, Aaron, with, you know, let's just see the movie. But at the same time, it does feel like a lot of these are fairly pointless and probably never should have existed, and especially with these horror movies. But Child's Play is interesting because if you've watched the original, which have either of you seen the original?
I haven't seen any of the Child's Play movies. I know, you know, I know about Chucky. I know kind of what's you know, seeped into pop culture, but no, I haven't seen any of them.
Me either.
So the original is very much in the vein of like a Universal Monsters movie, which a lot of the 80s like slashers and stuff, you have like these bigger than life monsters like Jason, Freddy, Chucky, Pinhead, whatever. And so it kind of fits into that realm. And it's, you know, there's voodoo and there's supernatural shenanigans. And, you know, like I already said, the bigger than life monster with Chucky. It also weirdly plays at first, even though I think even when Child's Play came out, they previewed it, and on the poster, they made it very clear that it was going to be the doll. But the first like half of that movie plays like a murder mystery. Like maybe it's somebody else doing the killing, which is really weird. But anyways, but that's the kind of movie it is. But then in the new one, they actually take it in a completely different direction, and they actually made a movie that makes sense in 2019. I made a joke the other day with somebody that I thought the tagline for it could have been "Don't fuck with the Nest," because it's very much about technology and people's fear of technology.
Yeah,
and the idea that there's these things like the Nest that can control everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what if one of those things decided to do its own thing?
Right,
and you know, maybe trap you in a building or whatever and play around. And that's kind of where this one goes. Now, I have a hard time buying that this would all be in a kid's doll would be like the core outlet for all of this. Like the doll would control everything.
That seems like a weird place to put your control unit.
Yeah, that'd be kind of that seemed kind of odd, but that's what it does. And also and outside of that, Mark Hamill, who if anybody's watched the Batman animated series and stuff, knows the guy's great. He can do some really good voice work. He's awesome. His voice work makes the doll extremely creepy.
Yeah.
In a good way, like in a fun way, I guess.
Well, he's become kind of the go-to guy for creepy voice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cause he did the Joker, I guess, on the, mm-hmm. on the Batman series and in a lot of the animated movies and whatnot. And that's a lot of people even say that he's their favorite Joker. So like I said, I don't know how much I liked it, but I will say as far as one of these reboot remakes go, at least they tried for something different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure they're completely successful, but I appreciated the attempt, which with as bland as a lot of these franchise films have been this summer,
phew.
This was kind of a nice at least a little bit of a different take on something. And I don't know. So, you know, take from that what you will. It is extremely gory at towards the end, especially.
I figured.
For anyone that is not a fan of that, I'm not a huge gore person, so I was not, that's part of it I didn't really care for. Don't take your kid.
I've been seeing a lot of that, actually. My wife was just talking about how she got a text from her sister, sister, that they were in Child's Play and mom brought in, like, her four young kids. And it's just like, I think, I wonder if there's some cross confusion with Toy Story 4, you know?
I just got so angry, I decided not to talk. I'm sorry, what?
I just got so mad, I decided not to talk. Oh. I was like, oh, I can't handle that.
What about kids going to see
But I'm super sensitive in that way. Like, when I was growing up, my mom took me to see, like, some Disney movie about a bear.
Yeah.
But it was like a
Brother Bear, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember, but it was like a live one. And they had this moment where the bear attacks, there was like a bear attack or something. And then there was like, and we were so disrupted by that in our poor little spirits, our little sensitive spirits, that we got up and left. And my mom apologized all the way home that we had to see such violence.
A lot of it's just knowing your kid too. I mean,
you gotta know your kids.
I mean, I would never show my daughter anything like this.
Just because
I don't think I would anyways, just in general, but...
We in our house, just a super quick side note before yours, Aaron, and I'm sorry because I know we're going long, but like, my husband loves watching WWE. Yeah. And I told him, I was like, I just don't want Iris to see, that's my daughter's, I don't want Iris to see it. She was about like a little over one at the time. And he's like, oh, it's fine. And I said, no, just pause it when we come into the room. Pause it. We'll walk through the room, you know.
Yeah.
Let you have your TV time. You have to not watch it, but we'll just not be in the room. And there was this one particular day, it was on for a couple of minutes before it got paused. And the next day, my daughter choked out another child at daycare.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's probably not supposed to be laughing.
Okay, I guess I am exaggerating slightly in that choked out. It's a little bit extreme. She did put her hands around another child and she choked him.
Uh-huh.
And so we got a call from school like, this is really out of character for your daughter. She's usually so sweet. And I just immediately called Justin. I'm like, babe, this is the call I just got from her child care.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think every parent kind of has that realization moment. We were watching like Karate Kid or something and my kids were chopping everything.
Yeah.
For the next, you know, six months.
I've never had my daughter act out, but I do remember the moment where I realized she was actually paying attention to what I was watching. And she might have been around, I don't know, she might have been like a little over one, but I was watching, like, it was October, and I think I had it like on AMC or something, and they were showing like one of the Halloween movies. And I didn't even realize she was in there because I was on my computer. And then all of a sudden, I just heard her go, oh, no. And then I looked up, and it was like a scene where like Michael Myers is like raising up to like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, we need to change this channel. And,
yep.
From killer talking dolls to more friendly talking dolls, my Beyond the Sins is Toy Story 4. It's so great. And I think I saw your tweet, Jonathan, and I liked all of your tweet except for the second sentence.
I liked it.
I know you did.
I just didn't love it.
I know you
it.
Did. You just said it had nothing new to bring to the table, and I'm thinking of all the things that I thought were, you know, new
that
in
was
that
probably
movie.
A little. That was probably a little... To, I don't know.
Anyways, I'm just picking a little bone with you. Just picking a little bone.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
No, I mean, obviously, I've got bias. Like, I'm the, you know, one of the biggest Pixar fans you probably know. I really am genuinely amazed that they've had this kind of critical, you know, consensus on four movies in a row. Like, it's just, you know, all of them are either 98% or 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
It's just, for sure.
I don't think that's, there's no way that's ever happened. I remember you tweeting about that. There's
it's
no
insane.
Way.
It's just crazy that they've done so well. This movie is so much fun. It may be the funniest Toy Story movie. I actually watched 2 and 3 yesterday. My wife and I did, you know, and they're great. They're so good. But I think this one's funnier. And I will say this as well, something new I noticed. The beginning of Toy Story 3, like the first 30 minutes, almost feel like a prologue to Toy Story 4. Like, there's some stuff they're dealing with in there. There's a moment where they talk about Bo Peep leaving in Toy Story 3 that is just kind of this throwaway emotional moment that now means so much more after Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
And just kind of stuff like that where I was like, oh, wow, this universe is really consistent. And it's fascinating because they're 9 years apart. Like, you know, it's the fact that Toy Story 3 was like, what, 2010, and this one's 2019. I mean, it's just, it's...
The fact that I still haven't seen the second Toy Story.
Well, and they're 20, 4 years apart, right? I mean, well, that's from the first,
yeah,
too. Yeah, that's pretty crazy too. I liked it. I was just trying to basically say, like, it just felt like. I never like to say that it felt pointless because I hate that when people say that, like, dude, this movie shouldn't exist. But yeah, but it does. So whatever. I mean, I'm never going to go that route. But I don't know. Toy Story 3, I guess, just felt like a very good wrap up to everything.
Yeah, I think all four of them actually feel like a great completion. That's kind of part of the beautiful magic trick is that, you know, if they end on any one of those, I think it's fine.
I will say I liked this ending. My wife hated the ending. Ooh. And I heard a lot. No, she liked the movie overall, but she really didn't like the ending, which we can't really talk about. And I think you would know why somebody wouldn't like
yeah,
the
ending.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, absolutely.
But because all the toys go to the incinerator?
No, yeah. That's a different one today.
Yeah, Chucky shows up.
I think the only other thing I would say to finish out my thoughts on Toy Story 4 is some of the best running gags I've seen in a movie in a long time. There are several, two, three, maybe even four different running gags throughout this movie that are just absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, the Key and Peele.
That's one of them for sure.
Oh my God, yeah. And Keanu, and the voice work in this movie is great. Reeves, Christina Hendricks, Annie Potts.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
This is really Woody's movie. And everybody else is just kind of in the background, which is, I mean, that's fine. I mean, I think the series has always been about Woody anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of been his journey.
He's the one that has Andy on his foot, right?
Technically, he has Bonnie on his foot now, but...
Who's Bonnie?
See, you got to watch the movies. See, this
Who's Bonnie?
Does that intrigue you enough to watch the movies?
I should just go Google it. I'm never going to... I should. I will eventually, when Iris gets old enough, I'm sure we're going to watch them together. And then I'm going to go on Twitter and be like, oh, now I understand. I'm trying on Twitter. I'm trying. Have you noticed that I've been there more?
Yeah.
I'm trying.
You've been trying to up your Twitter game.
It's not the same.
Good job. We're proud of you. We're all proud of you.
It's not the same as the Instagram.
No, Danae.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out with us at Behind the Sins. I'm Aaron Dicer. You can find me at Aaron Dicer all over the social medias. Danae Hughes, you can find at Danae Says. And Jonathan Watkins at Sam Loomis 13. We appreciate you being here. And we'll see you next week when actually Barrett Scher stepping in to talk a little Behind the Sins. See you then.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to behindthesinspod@gmail.com and be sure to subscribe or message us at Twitter and be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
Mike Snob, you don't sound like you're on your microphone yet.
It'll just keep inching up like 5 minutes every week until all of a sudden we're starting at 7 a.m., you know?
Yeah, no. Nope.
You don't think you can be here by 7 a.m.?
No, but I just had this vision of some sort of like press release with the three of us sort of like, you know, pictured, and we all have our morning cup of coffee, like just smiling like we're some sort of news anchors or something, you know? Just super cheesy.
Behind the Sins AM.
Good morning, sinners.
Oh, you guys both did a radio show?
Yeah, we did a live
show
together.
That's how we met. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep, we did radio together.
It was awesome. Very cool. I mean, the show was awesome and the experience was awesome. The place that we worked, not awesome. It had its moments, but it was difficult.
We won't throw the whole place under the bus.
No, no.
But there were definitely some things that happened there that I'm more than willing to throw under the bus.
Yeah. Not just throw it under the bus, but also put it in the wood chopper.
Oh.
I have anger I think I still need to work through. I really like using the word literally correctly, and I feel like I'm doing a service to our society that people can see it used properly.
Nice. It's educational for you.
It's educational as well.
Yeah, David, speaking of stand-up comics, David Cross, I think, was who had the great bit about that, and it was like, you know, somebody saying, I literally shit my pants, and it's like, so was that a big mess? Did you have to clean that up? He's like, no, I literally shit my pants. I saw a ton of concerts like in the 80s and 90s of like the huge bands at that time, and I can still remember spending like $20.
Yeah.
And then if you went and saw, you know, Christian rock concerts, sometimes they'd let you in for free and then take a love offering. So there's
Yeah, I wasn't supposed to record on my end, right? I'm kidding.
Danae should explain the look on my face that just happened.
We both just go.
I'm gonna have Barrett. Barrett's gonna hop in.
Oh, I was gonna bring in a puppet. Okay. Never mind.
Puppet sex?
No, Aaron.
Is that what we're doing?
No, I was saying that I would have like a little Jonathan puppet, and now it's weird. Now it's weird forever.
Do I need to bring a puppet too?
No, God! Hi, kids. We're here today to talk to you about how sensitive the cuecas.